I tell people all the time, like, you got to be a solution seeker, right? Like, at all times, you got to be in the mindset of like, okay, something arises, I got to find a solution, rather than like having a pity party and getting irritated and getting frustrated or getting sad or whatever the case is.
I'm Zach Hall, and this is the Mindset Movement.
All right, folks, we got a big, big treat for you guys today. We got the big cat in the studio here with us. Well, not with us, but he's on the screen. We're going to be talking to him. We're going to be interviewing him. This guy is probably one of the top in the industry when it comes to Shopify dropshipping, and we are super grateful to have him here on the show because it really doesn't get much better than this when it comes to Shopify dropshipping. We have Ernest Apes here with us, or Ernest Apps. Is it Apps or Apes?
Yep, Apps.
Okay, well, we want to make sure we hit that right. But dude, thanks for coming on the show, man. I'm super pumped to get you on here because Shopify dropshipping, this is an industry that I know I've killed it in, and I've been watching you for a long time, and you're one of the top guys out there. Not a lot of people know it, but you are probably at the tip top of the iceberg right now.
Yeah, man. You know, the thing is that I've built my entire brand, and I guess you could say following and everything, you know, all organically. So I'm not out here like, you know, spending tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars a day like everyone else. But, you know, I've been able to build thousands and thousands and thousands of followers simply because, like, when people come into my ecosystem, they immediately recognize the fact that, you know, I'm real deal, you know. So, yeah, it's been a huge blessing, man.
Dude, I know. And like, how long have you been in the drop shipping game? Because a big thing that we see a lot of people say is like, you got to be in it for 2 years before you can really turn a dollar, turn a profit. My instance, it literally took me 2 weeks to start profiting with drop shipping, but I kind of had an advantage on a lot of people because I ran Facebook ads for businesses for about a year and a half prior to starting. But for you, like, how long have you actually been drop shipping with Shopify, and how long did it take you to succeed with it?
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, the answer is twofold, really. So specifically, like, you know, actually taking the business serious, I started about 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, right? So that's when I decided to really take it serious. The funny thing is, and most people, they don't know this about me, but I actually heard about dropshipping and e-commerce all the way back in 2009, which is 10 years ago. And that's where when a lot of these, like, you know, when dropshipping was just like this new thing and people were like, oh, it's not really going to work. You know, there's no way people are going to really spend money on the internet like that. And it's funny because I didn't even hear about it from an online perspective. I literally got a flyer in the mail that invited me out to an event where a company was teaching it in person.
Back when AliExpress was getting their start, I also remember hearing about that. I'm a little bit younger than you, so I didn't really take action on it, but I've probably been drop shipping, not even on just Shopify's platform, but just across the board there, maybe for about 4 years, but I really didn't start taking it seriously until about the past year and a half. That's good to know your background with it. That's, again, that's probably a big attribute to why you're at the top of the pyramid right now, because you've been with the game. You may not have been in it, but you've been with the game at least since the start. So you should be the best. Right.
Yeah, because I tell people, you know, essentially I was kind of like most people, and we talked about this briefly a little bit early before we got started, where, you know, I seen all these different things, right? So I did the e-com drop shipping, like I tried to do affiliate marketing, blogging, you know, so I was like trying to do all this different stuff. And you know, and I didn't really know which direction I wanted to go. And then, you know, I never really committed to it. But when I made that decision to commit to like e-commerce and dropshipping, you know, it really, really took off like a rocket ship.
I agree. Yep. That's kind of what I noticed too. And it was the same thing, same story with actual dropshipping with Shopify. I was doing multiple different things. I was doing my marketing business. I marketed for car dealerships. I had a vehicle listing website service that I was listing cars online for dealerships, like an Auto Trader or Car Gurus. I built one of those up. I was using eBay for drop shipping. I was also doing, like I said, the Shopify drop shipping. I was doing Forex, stock trading. I mean, anything that was shiny that looked like it could make me $1 million, I was doing that. It wasn't until I actually cut everything else out and focused on the one thing, that's when everything blew up for me. And I think that's so key to succeeding in just about anything you want to do. Because if you want to succeed in anything, I think we can agree on this, you got to give it 110%. Like, you got to be willing to spend those nights where you don't sleep, but you got to work through it. And when you're focusing on multiple different things there, you can't give everything 100%. So you're never going to succeed with it. So we had a similar story there. I like that. But
yeah,
we've been training a lot of people with Shopify dropshipping. I'm seeing your results. It's pretty crazy. But probably the most common question you're going to get asked, and I want to ask it here just to get it out of the way. How much money do you need to get started?
Man, you know, the funny thing is I'm going to tell you about me personally, like how much I really genuinely like spent. Okay. And then I'll tell you like what I tell most people. Okay. Because I know most people aren't really willing to like, you know, grind and have that like, you know, tenacity and just like ferociousness to just take whatever resources they have and make the best of it. So me personally, I literally started with $12.50. That's how much it cost me, $12.50. Let me give some more context behind that too, right? So the reason why it only cost me $12.50, in the state of Virginia, that's where I live at, it costs $12.50 to register a business as a DBA, okay? So $12, all right? $12, I was like, all right, sign me up, Virginia. So it cost me $12. And then on top of that, okay, so it's a little bit more than that. I put $25 towards paid advertising. Because when I started Shopify, and they still do this, give you $100 AdWords credit towards running Google ads, right? So $12.50 and $25. Now, at the time when I started with Shopify, they've actually gotten a lot more, I guess you could say, just they don't have the longer trial periods. They used to have like 30-day and sometimes 60-day trial. So I was able to sign up for a 30-day trial. So, you know, I had free, like 30 days for free I could use Shopify. So I had the $12.50, the $25 AdWords credit, and in my first month, I did $3,300 in sales, and I just put all that money back into the business. I didn't touch any of it, and I kept flipping it every single month. So essentially, like I tell people, like really genuinely, like I literally built a $1 million portfolio of e-com businesses with just $12.50. Like that's no hype, no BS. Like anyone that's ever followed me, like has watched me ascend through that entire process.
Now, I that's awesome. And the way I take the approach when I get asked this question is I come and tell people you need $0. Like you literally need no money to start. And you're just kind of verifying that point. $37.50. No, it's nothing, right?
Yeah. But
the way I explain it to people is I play the credit game really, really hard. So credit cards, right? We're taught from birth that credit cards are bad. Don't get them. 25% interest rates, you're going to kill your financial life, right? But if you're using credit cards to buy liabilities, yeah, that's definitely the case. But if you actually use them to buy assets, then it's good. They're actually a very good option. It's the easiest way to get access to money. So the way I teach people to do this is we go out and we get credit cards. And we use that stuff towards our initial startup. And another thing that really benefits us when we use credit cards with Facebook ads or Google ads is we get cards that are going to give us 3x or 4x points back per dollar spent on the platforms for online advertising. So we're making a tremendous amount of money just off of using a credit card on the ad platforms themselves, like Facebook and Google, or anywhere you use them. And I would be curious to know, like, obviously we want to stretch the dollar and recycle it and make the money move so we can make money on the money multiple times. But is that something like you do? Do you guys do that over there with like the credit cards to get extra points back?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah. Between like points and like, you know, cash back, matching cash back. Like I know I got a Discover card where they did they matched the cash back. So instead of just and this is one that I use on the personal side of things, like everything like I'm doing has been transitioning all my businesses to run off credit cards. Because like you said, most people are taught, and it's only because they're just negligent of the fact of like how to leverage credit cards the right way, is the fact that, you know, you use it and then you pay it off and then you collect all the rewards in the process of that. So like you said, you can make money on your money. And then like specific cars, like I know Chase has a car where they, I think it's either 3X or even 5X points possibly like paid ad, when you run paid ads. I can't remember the exact card off the top of my head. Actually, it's funny because like this, they even like further clarified that I'm really talking about. And this is a Chase invitation right here that they sent me.
Right there in the room.
They're going to give me a $2,000 bonus for signing up for their cashback bonus for signing up for their car. And they're going to give me 1.5% cash back on all my purchases with that just particular business. So,
is that the Freedom Unlimited?
No, this is actually the Inc. Preferred.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the business Inc. Preferred. So, you know, that's the thing, man. Like, we're real deal with this stuff. Like, whenever I say something, like, you know, people are like, oh, that might not be true. Like, I got the invitation right here, guys. It's real.
That's a good card. The top two cards when it comes to, like, the Facebook or the Google ad platforms to get money back on your money are that card right there, the Chase Inc. Business Preferred, or actually the American Express Gold Business Card. I don't know if you played around with that one at all. But you actually
I was using a different American Express one, but I know last year it got like $7,000 cash back just now. And I'm not even talking about points. If I would have done points, it would have been way more. Like you said, like it would have been significantly more. But that's the cool thing. Like, whether you want to do points and cash those out different ways with like Amazon cards or like flights or hotels and stuff like that, you get way more bang for your buck when you do it like that versus cash back. But yeah, you're right, man.
Like, I haven't, just for the credit cards, I haven't paid for a single flight my entire life. I don't pay for hotel rooms. My girl likes going to Olive Garden all the time. We haven't paid for a single real dinner because we use the points to get the actual gift cards for Olive Garden. So, I mean, we're pretty much paying for our whole life just on the actual points from the credit cards. And people think you got to come into this space and you got to make $1 million with drop shipping, when in reality is you don't really need to do that. You just need to make enough sales so you can get money back on your points, and you can still live an insane life. Like most businesses, a lot of people talk about if you're breaking even, you're losing. Like, this is the one business, in my opinion, where if you're breaking even, you're still doing pretty good because you're making a lot of money on the actual points back. But that you're doing that too, because a lot of people in this industry, they don't realize that, because people still have that, like you said, negligent thought in the back of their mind that credit cards are
bad. Bro, like, seriously, like, if people, somebody, whoever's listening to this, it's like, think of it like this. Like, let's say hypothetically, like, you scale a business to doing $100,000, right? And you're breaking even and you got a rewards card. It's not uncommon to get 2% cash back. We're talking about something very like common in the industry, in the credit card world. But 2% cash back on 100K is $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 a year. That's somebody's full-time job. And we're just talking about all you're doing is spending money, paying it all. Because with dropshipping, you use the customer's money to pay for everything. So like, you can literally make a full-time extra salary.
It's 3% of the Inc. Preferred, and then it's 4% of the Business Gold. And I'm not the best in the industry at it, but I'm sure there's even better things than that. Like, you can recycle it multiple times if you want. MS it, manufacture spend. You can get even more points back on your points. But
Hey, don't you be going dropping those knowledge bombs about the manufacture spend. That's something nobody really knows about.
Play that game. But okay, we went over that. We went over like the spend, like what it takes. I think we're on the same page with that. It takes pretty much no money. Just what my point that I'm trying to get at there is, you don't need any real money. You just need access to the money. You get access to like, you look at these top players in the world, like people that, like Warren Buffett, for example. The guy probably buys a new apartment complex every single hour. Like, he doesn't buy that with cash. He's just using OPM. Same thing with Trump. Like, everybody thinks that's a fun, controversial subject everybody likes to talk about. I'm not political either way. But, like, he's got, like, a $7 billion portfolio. But he doesn't actually buy this stuff with actual cash. He's buying it with other people's money. He's taking out interest-only loans, right? So people think he's making all this money, should pay all these taxes, but he's not actually making all that money, right? He's borrowing the money and making money on the bank's money, and he's making pennies compared to what he's actually showing, right? But, and it's the same thing with what we're talking about here, is why I'm bringing up that point. You don't need real money. You just need other people's money to use. And that's a key to succeeding in just about any business.
Yeah, and the great thing about like e-commerce, like real estate, because like, even to get access to like the bigger money on real estate, like, you got to have like a good business plan. Like, you got to have like properties in mind that you're going to be acquired. You got to have conversations with the bank to get the money, get everything. Like, with dropshipping, like, literally you can start by the end of the week. You know, it's literally like you execution on the information that you receive. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
That's good. So for your is drop shipping, is Shopify drop shipping the end of the game for you, or is this only the beginning?
No, so this is only the beginning, man. So my ultimate goal is to really build up a big portfolio of, you know, drop shipping stores that I actually, you know, start to expand out and dig in deep in specific niches to build $100 million a year in revenue that I do.
That's good. And I think you can do it. Like when you actually know how to run the ads, like I know you do, you can do it. It seems like crazy. Like usually if it sounds too good to be true, it is. But knowing what we know in this industry, it's actually possible. If you want to put in the work to do it, you can do it. It's insane the potential with Shopify, drop shipping, and I see so many people looking past this because it's the current trend. They want to try and find the next thing because they think it's too late. But what the Gary Vee says the best, don't focus on what's next. Focus on the current, like right now. That's good. It's really possible to do that, and I really think you're going to be able to do it. But why do you think 99% of the people actually fail when they're coming into the Shopify space?
You know, quite honestly, like it's like with most things, like it's not a Shopify thing. Honestly, it's a you thing. Like at the end of the day, because whether it's Shopify, whether it's like you want to become a lawyer and run your own law firm, whether it's like you want to start a franchise, whether you want to start a lawnmower business, like statistically across the board, 80% of businesses fail, like statistically speaking. Right. So with that being said, it's, you know, when people look at like the whole Shopify thing, because like, you know, obviously we get asked that question a lot, like, why are there so many people winning or failing with Shopify? Like, why is there only a couple people that's actually having success? Well, it's the same thing in regular business. It's no different. The laws of what it takes to be successful running a Shopify business apply no matter what kind of business you're running.
You got to fail. Exactly. You got to fail. You have to fail before you can succeed. It's a universal law. So I agree with you there. Like so many people drop off the wagon before they really get started because they're not comfortable with failure, because we're not taught to be comfortable with failure. And that's exactly why I named this podcast The Mindset Movement, because I'm trying to make a movement around the fact that the mindset, and it's so cliche to say it, but your mindset is literally the most important part of anything you're going to do. And it's not just Shopify. It's not just dropshipping. It's any business you're going to get into. Even if it's not a business, like if you're working a job, that's fine. Just whatever you're doing, if you want to succeed at it, whether it's your own business, a job, a sport, it's all up in your mind. It's a mindset. If you don't have the right tools up here, right? If you can't win the war inside your head, you're never going to win it out in the real world.
So that's why everybody's failing at this, because they're not comfortable with failing. Right? They drop off when the going gets tough. Like Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yep. So, and you will get punched in the face a lot of times, no matter what. It's like, it doesn't matter who your coach is, who you're learning from, like what you do. And at the end of the day, something's always going to happen. Like I can tell you, like, it's just something's going to happen. It's inevitable, right? No matter. And again, it doesn't matter what kind of business that you're running. It's inevitable that something is just going to happen. Because there's things that we can't control. Like I always bucket things in like the things I can control and the things I can't control, like market shifts, Facebook algorithm changes, Google updates to a new interface. I can't freaking find the buttons, like product gets priced incorrectly. Hey, there's this whole thing going on with China right now where all the prices are getting raised. Everyone's freaking out. Like you can't control like country laws or things that happen in the economy.
25% tariff. Yeah. Like that's, it'll adjust, but honestly it's adjusting for inflation. So it looks like the price is going up, but realistically we're going to be making the same amount of money. It's just like when the minimum wage gets raised in a state, right? The cost of a gallon of milk goes up. Sure. It's costing more on paper, but in theory, it's still the same value. So that's what's happening with China right now. It's funny you bring that up.
And the thing is that, you know, just getting back to the principle side of things, like it doesn't matter. There's just always going to be stuff that you can't control. So the challenge between, you know, the people that win and the people that succeed is that we embrace it, we see it, and then we just figure out a way to push through it to actually come up with the solution. And, you know, we were kind of talking about this earlier before we got started before. But like I tell people all the time, like you got to be a solution seeker. Right. Like at all times, you got to be in the mindset of like, OK, something arises. I got to find a solution rather than like having a pity party and getting irritated and getting frustrated or getting sad or whatever the case is. Just like, all right, here's the punch. Let me come up with a solution. And you got to be quick to act on that.
Ernest told me this was going to happen if I did this, right? But it didn't, right? And then they want to place the blame on you. But in reality, it doesn't matter who your mentor is. Like I said on my last show with Mike there, it doesn't matter if Jeff Bezos is my mentor, right? If I'm looking to make the next Amazon, it doesn't matter if he's my mentor. I'm not going to be able to make that happen until I experience the failures myself. It's just a universal law. It's the way it works. You got to fail. You have to fail. It doesn't matter if you have the best mentor in the world at what you're doing. It definitely helps. Don't get me wrong. You got to have a good mentor. You got to have good knowledge in the beginning, because when you get punched in the face, you can't afford to spend any more of your time and money learning. It's important to have the right tools up here. Otherwise, you're not going to dig yourself back out of the hole. But you got to experience the failures yourself before you can truly win at it. And going back to the failures and like you're saying there, like it's good to problem solve. I want to ask you this question, because you're talking about $100 million portfolio and sales. Do you think you should 100% automate your business? Because this is a big thing that I see a lot of starting entrepreneurs talk about. Like they think they're going to, they read online that the average millionaire has 7 streams of income, right? So what they want to do is they want to start out, right? They're like, I'm going to nose to the grindstone for the next 5 years. I'm going to start businesses. I'm going to start 7 businesses. I'm going to completely automate them all, and I'm going to be a millionaire. That's not how it works. In your opinion, do you think you should 100% automate your business?
Well, personally, for me, I don't believe in 100% automation. Because at the end of the day, like, if don't listen to me, number one. Like, if I say something, like, go out and do your due diligence yourself, right? But if you look at, like, the most successful businesses and the most successful business owners, no matter what the industry is, again, because I'm talking about principles, like, a lot of this stuff is congruent, guys. Like, but if you look, like, how many of them really have completely walked away and stepped away from their business, right? Exactly. So I don't like to refer to, like automation as a 100% type of thing. I like to use the phraseology, like, semi-automate, right? Yep. So I consider, like, yeah, I consider my, like, drop shipping businesses, like, semi-automated, because I have teams of VAs that they manage the day-to-day stuff that, like, eat up a lot of your time, like the customer service, order fulfillment, and, you know, listing products, more research, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, it takes a lot of time. So I'm not doing any of those things. But what I do is I go in and I oversee what's happening on a regular basis. Now, typically for me, on average, I want to say it's maybe 1 to 2 hours per day. You know, that I'm going in and kind of checking on these different things. But again, it's not 100%. It's still 2 hours per day that I just go in and check to make sure things are happening. Sometimes it could be a couple days where I'll go in and look at things. And sales are just still rocking and rolling, coming in, things of that nature. But the main thing is I just want to get rid of, to your point, Zach, the misconception of 100% automated. No matter what, I don't care how sexy the tool is. I don't care how amazing your SOPs are, standard operating procedures. At the end of the day, like, you still got a little bit of something. Even with real estate, like, I hang around a lot of people that are crushing it in real estate. They've got multi-million-dollar portfolios. Like, you still got to, at some point, be in contact with your property manager, make sure the deposits are coming into your account. Even if you do it once a month, that's still, in my opinion, not 100% automated, because you still got to go in there and actually take a look at stuff.
You got to be there. If the problem that I noticed, and I ran into this myself with Shopify, because that was my mindset starting out. Like when I was first becoming an entrepreneur, it's the generic across the board. Everybody thinks that, right? And that's what I thought too. I'm going to start this business. I'm going to get a great mentor. I'm going to learn everything I know about it. I'm going to make a ton of money, which I did, not bragging, but make a ton of money. I'm going to put it on automation and go to the next thing, right? And I tried that. And the problem that happens is, like I say it like every single week and every person I talk to, it seems like the definition of business is problem solving. And when you're not there to see the problems arising in your business, then your business is going to go under. And that's exactly what happened to me. And the big problem that I faced when I did that was I didn't have the PayPal set up correctly with my drop shipping store, and PayPal ended up holding $25,000 on me, and I never got it all back. And, you know, like if that never would have happened if I was there to actually foresee this happening. Like, if I was there to actually see that, they're telling me, hey, make sure you send your tracking numbers over here so we know that you're actually sending your products out. If you 100% automate, you're going to be shooting yourself in the foot bad. So,
Yeah. And the worst case scenario, like, you still, like, again, no matter what business it is, just like go in there, you know, poke in there, make sure things are happening. And like, even if you hire, now again, you can systematize things, you can put automation towards whatever it is that you're pursuing, but you know, you still got to be in there checking to make sure stuff gets executed properly.
Right. It's working on your business rather than working in your business.
Yep, exactly.
That's the main point here we're trying to say. You got to work in your business in the beginning until you can get the ball rolling to where you can start automating, bringing on VAs. Like, don't get us wrong here. Automation is good. It's kind of key to succeeding.
Yeah, you got that right. It definitely is a key to, it's a key to scaling. Like, you know, not necessarily succeeding, because me personally, I think anybody can really go from $0 to $1 million a year and not have to have like a massive team in order to do it. Like, if you want to like grind and put in the grunt work and take full responsibility of the whole shebang of everything that has to go on in your business, I think that you can, you know, honestly, well, personally, I did it. So I know you can do it. So you don't have to have a big, big team to do that. But what I've noticed, again, part of me personally, because I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I don't come from a background of like, you know, amazing people that are crushing it in business or in life. So I have to go out and study individuals and or like go to events, go to masterminds, surround myself with people that are winning at a high level to get what that looks like. And so what I've noticed specifically over the last, especially like the last 18 to 24 months, is the fact that the people that are doing multiple seven figures a year, like eight figures up, like the people that are doing multiple seven figures a year consistently, and the people that are doing eight figures and up, they have a team. They have systems. Like, they are not doing this by themselves. Like, they are deep, deep rooted with having really solid teams and systems that's allowing them to gain more of the market share in the specific industries it is that they're in, whether it's drop shipping, whether it's e-com, whether it's like a service-based business, whether it's a digital product. People that's doing multiple seven figures, eight figures and up, they got teams and they got systems, okay?
You're right, because you can't do it on your own. It's impossible. A lot of people, you know, think they're the biggest badass in the world in their mind, right? They're a legend in their own mind, but you can't do it on your own. And you got to humble yourself out. The sooner the better, before you get kicked in the teeth, because the world will kick you in the teeth when you finally come and realize that you're not everything that you thought you were. You got to humble yourself out, and you got to be willing to accept help from other people, because that is so key. Like, you can't do it on your own. And that's important, getting other people on your team, getting some VAs, automating that stuff out. And I think you're right over what I was saying. It's not important to succeed. Like, I could succeed all day on my own, but if I actually want to scale, you got to have people on your side. You got to have people working with you. Right. I agree with you on that. Now, I know you, this is how I got in touch with Ernest here. He's got one of the top, if not the top, Facebook group for Shopify dropshipping specific. Well, not even just Shopify. It's pretty much dropshipping across the board. And he's got about 25,000 members in there, maybe 30,000 members in there at the time of recording here. I know it grows exponentially every single day, it seems like. But a really, really sharp guy. He does do a course. He does mentorships and everything. And I wanted to say that before I ask you this next question, because me and you, we both do mentorships for people. But how important is a mentorship in the beginning? Like, I don't want people to think this is a biased opinion, because we're going to have the same answer here. But I just wanted to say that beforehand. But in your opinion, how important are mentorships before you start? Are they super important, or are people just trying to scam and make extra money off?
Well, no, man. Like, you know, the thing is that having a mentor and or like, you know, here's the thing, before I even give more context behind like my direct answer, right? If we look at, you know, let's just say like professional athletes, right? If you look at the Michael Jordan, right? Like, Michael Jordan is only Michael Jordan because of who was behind Michael Jordan, right? In the beginning, it was his dad, right? Like, yeah. Like, Michael Jordan didn't know. He didn't just wake up one day and just all of a sudden start learning how to dribble basketball, learning how to, you know, shoot a jump shot correctly, or, you know, learn how to, you know, play defense as aggressive as he did. Right. And then even as he ascended into like the NBA, like, most people think that it was Phil Jackson that was pushing Michael Jordan to the next level. But actually, behind the scenes, Michael Jordan ended up hiring a guy by the name of Tim Grover. Tim Grover is the person that created the Michael Jordan that we see. So Michael Jordan had a coach on the court, but he also had a coach that was helping him from the mental capacity and from the strengthening his body capacity in order to ascend to become the person that you guys know was Michael Jordan. So most people don't even know that. Most people just know like Phil Jackson because that was his coach. But behind the scenes was actually Tim Grover is the person that is actually responsible for the Michael Jordan that we know. And then also most people don't know that Tim Grover was also responsible for Kobe Bryant. So he was the person that helped Kobe Bryant. And he's been responsible for tons of other amazing athletes that we just is like, oh, my God, these guys are superstars. They're rock stars. They're champions like Dwayne Wade. Again, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, but they all had Tim Grover in their corner who was helping them ascend to that next level in that arena specifically, right? So again, if we look at, just coming back to our ecosystem and arena, you know, one of the things I just had someone reach out to me and say is just like, she said, my husband, he doesn't believe in, spend money to make money. And I was just like, well, whether your husband believes in that or not, at the end of the day, you have to get educated. Right? Like, you don't go through any society. Okay, let's break it down all the way to like how we learn anything, right? There's no society that says, you know what, just let your baby grow up. They can figure out math, they can figure out English on their own. There's no requirement to learn anything. You can just, you'll figure it out. You know, there's a lot of free information out there. You just figure it out. It doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
And or the opposite side, right? Now, let's talk about the teacher side aspect, right? There's no teacher that shows up. It's just like, I just love kids so much. I don't have to worry about bills. I'll sleep on the street. I'll sleep in a sleep bag under a tent. Like, I don't need money. Like, I'll just teach people for free, right? It doesn't exist, okay? And again, I know that might sound a little extreme, right? But at the same sense, like as we ascend as adults, if you want to say you want to be a business owner, the thing that you got to do is you got to get educated on business. And specifically in whatever arena that you're pursuing, you need to go find the people that are succeeding at what you want to do. Right. And so now that we talk about like mentorship, absolutely. Like personally for me, like I have mentors in multiple areas of business that I want to grow in. Like I got a mentor for email marketing. I have a mentor for digital products. I have a mentor for advertising. I have a mentor specifically for Shopify. Like I have mentors for every area that I want to actually grow in. And I go and find the best people that are in that. And I pay them to help me expedite my success and or help to increase my learning curve with what it is that I'm pursuing.
You're right. You look at the top people in the world. They all had mentors. Mark Zuckerberg had Peter Thiel. Now, Mark Zuckerberg is one of the richest people in the world. Like, everybody has to have a mentor starting out. You look at the guys at the top of the ladder, Ernest here, for example, top of the Shopify dropshipping ladder. He has mentors. You got to have a mentor. I agree with you. It's super, super important starting out. And not even just starting out, like long term. If you want to continue to succeed, you got to continue to keep learning. And you got to keep surrounding yourself with winners. Otherwise, you're going to start to plateau. You're going to drop off a little bit, and you're going to start to flatline. So let's get in here to the next one. I agree. You got to have a mentor. How much time a day right now? And you already hinted on it a little bit here, but just real quickly, how much time a day are you spending on your business?
Man, well, here's the thing, right? I'll answer that with the respect that everybody has different goals, right? So if your goal is just to make $100,000 a year, you might just set everything up, get it semi-automated like I talked about and just be on chill mode. And that's, you're good with that. But if you got a big vision, big goals that you want to achieve, again, you heard me talk about like the nine figures a year, that nine figures isn't going to be made with a mediocre work ethic at the end of the day. Right. And just recognize that work is required to achieve like whatever it is that you want to achieve. So knowing that Ernest has to be self-funded through his own personal, like, again, work ethic and capital and, things of that nature. I don't have, relationships, and I didn't grow up from a family that has like, any wealth or anything. So I have to literally go out and grind for every single dollar that comes in to continue to ascend. Month over month, year after year, right? And make good decisions along the way. So for me, that answer is going to be a lot different than like, probably like the average person. So for me, like I'm working like crazy. I'm talking about, some days are 18, 20 hour days. There's literally just even, last couple of weeks, I literally worked like 2-3 days in a row.
Right. And that doesn't mean just money, just how successful do you want to be? And it's going to require work.
Yeah, bro. That's all good stuff, man. I'm excited, bro.
and kind of going back a little bit to what you were talking about there before with Tim Grover mentoring Michael Jordan and Kobe and Dwayne Wade and many other people there. I read that book. It's a good book. It's Unstoppable by Tim Grover. That's a pretty important book to read. Everybody talks about Think and Grow Rich and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We're going to link it down there in the description, but it's definitely a book that you should look into getting, because a lot of people see the player Kobe and they see the player Michael Jordan, but they don't see the mindset that these guys have. And that's what that book teaches. I don't know if that's where you were maybe getting that from, or if you actually just truly knew the stories of their background and everything, but
well, yeah, it was a, you know, combination between that and, you know, the fact of like, you know, mentorship, because like, you know, some people are just like, oh, you know, I don't really think I should have a mentor, or I don't really need help or guidance or nothing like that. And like, you know, again, like I know you guys mentioned Gary Vee, but like, you know, I'm very controversial with a lot of stuff that he teaches. But like one of the things is he even says, like, you don't have to have a mentor. He never had a mentor, which quite honestly really isn't true. Like he talks about his dad. Right. Like he's talked about his dad a lot and how he's learned from his dad and the principles of like work ethic and stuff. So I'm like, at the end of the day, like indirectly, whether you want to say you had him as a mentor or not, like he was your mentor. You know,
same thing. I think Gary Vee is just a very good, genuine person. Like I like what he does. He constantly is preaching free content, free content, free content. Like he's so far ahead of the trends. Like if you watch him, like he knows like what's about to like happen. Like he called Facebook happening. He called Google Ads back in the early 2000s, like he's calling LinkedIn, like right now it's what, June 28th of 2019 when we're recording this, and a couple months ago or a year ago or whatever, he's already calling LinkedIn to be the next Facebook. And if you kind of watch the trend that LinkedIn's doing, and they're doing the same thing Facebook did back in 07, 08. So LinkedIn's probably going to be the new platform. So I agree with him on some stuff, but like when it comes to getting a mentor and everything, I don't know if my opinion is necessarily above his, because he's obviously worth about 1,000 times what I am. Like he's a lot more successful, but I would agree with you. Like you got to have a mentor. If you're trying to succeed in a business, you got to have a mentor. If you don't have the knowledge, you literally have nothing.
And like, you know, what's funny is that's cool that you brought up the whole like trend thing. And here's the thing that's going to happen. Like you can be your own Gary Vee in your niche. The reason why, like, and I personally like believe this in terms of like being able to forecast stuff, because I've worked on like contracts for like multi-billion dollar companies. I've forecasted certain numbers or certain things ever happening, and like those things actually happen. It's not because like, you know, you have to be some overarching genius or like this like magic man or something like that. It's like when you're in the game with a high level of intensity, like you can start to see like the patterns that are going to potentially arise and be able to like really have a true visualization of that. But I can tell you when you're sitting on the sidelines or you're not really like in the game, because obviously, like, you know, again, if you follow Gary by any means, like, you know, like he's like the work ethic is just like an understatement in terms of like how much that guy like puts in. Right. And so like, if you do that, and, you know, I 100% know that my work ethic is on par with what he puts in, like, yep. You have the ability to be able to do that. Like, and so like, you just got to really, really get in the game and get honed in on what it is that you're doing, especially when it comes to like e-commerce and dropshipping, if that's something that you're learning about, because it's like, you don't have to play guessing games. The reason why we have such a high level of confidence with e-commerce and dropshipping is because like, we just do it so much. Like we're in the game. We know like, okay, like Facebook algorithm, like made a shift. Like here's the next best thing I should probably do. Even if there's no content on how to do it, it's because like we're in the game. We know how to make a pivot.
And that's another thing right there that I wanted to bring it up, and I wasn't sure how we're going to get on this subject, but to the Facebook ad, this is something I wanted to ask you about. Come September, right? September of 2019, in our time here, maybe not when you're listening to it in your time, but at least in our time, September of 2019, there's another big algorithm change coming to Facebook where they're going to push and force everybody to go on CBOs, right? You can't do the traditional marketing that we've been doing. You're going to have to do the CBO approach. I've already started pivoting and doing CBOs since I found out about this, because I want to know how to do it before we're actually forced to do it. I don't know if you really knew that this was happening, probably. But there's so many people complaining about it. And at first I was one of them, but then I'm thinking to myself, well, Facebook's an auction bidding platform, right? So the highest bidder usually wins, not entirely, but
for the sake of this conversation, the highest bidder wins. And I'm thinking to myself, like, if everybody's complaining about this, we're going to get a lot of people to drop off the platform because they're not willing to pivot. They're not willing to switch to Facebook's new algorithm. So I was one of them. And then I started to take a step back and look at it. And like the people that aren't actually shifting with the market and growing with the changes, those are the ones that aren't going to win. And the guys like us that are going to stick with it, we're the ones that are going to win massively in the end because we're willing to do that.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, man. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And again, we talked about this earlier, right? Like solution seeking at all times. There's going to be an algorithm change. It's been very publicly stated. Everyone in the know-how of like running ads knows about it. So there's no mystery or guessing game. So if you don't make a pivot, you can't cry wolf because you knew it was coming. Like you're listening right now, you knew it was coming. So, and if you're listening to this later, like at another time, maybe 2023, it came. All right.
Yeah, some of the people that are looking back on this, listening to us right now, they're like, dude, these guys were right. That did happen. Like right now, we don't 100% know what's going to happen. We're just forecasting it, right? Because it hasn't happened in our time yet. But the people that are, most people that are probably listening to this are listening to it way down the line. And now they actually are looking at it like, these guys were right. So it's simple with Facebook ads too. Like right now, they have a question mark up in the top right. You just click on that and they're literally telling you the changes that are coming to the platform. And they'll update you on a weekly basis that they do. So that's all good. And another thing we're going to talk about here, Shopify, a very controversial subject that I'd love your input on here is when you're starting, general or niche or single product, like which one do you think you should start with? It's another comment.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure in terms of like your perspective or whatever, but here's the thing that always happens no matter what model someone goes with, right? And there's this internet marketing cliche. I think it's been around almost since like the dawn of like the industry of internet marketing has arisen, is that the riches are in the niches.
Right on that. I'll tell you my view and I'll let you go into it. So we kind of, you know where I'm at. We didn't talk on this before. I believe you should start general at first. I don't think you should, just because you like something specific like sports apparel, right? You shouldn't start with sports apparel because you don't know if that's going to sell. So my argument here would be start general at first. Start general so you can do multiple different products in different industries so you can find what works. And then when you have the information and you know what actually works, like I said, you don't know what works until you know. Once you have the information, you have a product that's selling, then take it niche specific because that opens up a whole bigger window there for opportunity when you go niche specific or single product store because you can actually start doing SEO and everything for your store, like right, growing backlinks, getting yourself plugged with other websites. You can start growing a brand name. Your retention rates, everything are going to be increased on your store. You're going to have higher conversions. Your traffic's going to be more valuable. Long-term, general doesn't, it works, but you're not going to be capitalizing and making the most amount of money. You should start general, my opinion, you could have different, but you start general. Once you have the information you know what's selling, go niche with that store. And then my approach is after 2 to 3 months, I sell off to a different company who pools companies together and they sell off to big companies. But so I'm not looking to do long-term stores anyway, but that's kind of the way I look at it. Start general, go niche, sell.
Yeah, and you know, the beauty about what happens when you have a niche specific store, like all the stuff that you talked about, like the only thing I would potentially add is like people want to know, like, especially when they look into e-com, they're like, well, you know, why would somebody buy from me versus like, you know, Amazon or Walmart? Like, you know, you might be somebody that might be like that, thinking of that nature. And the thing is that like, you know, when you go into a niche specific market, like you can literally brand yourself as the go-to resource and industry expert around that versus like Amazon's not going to do that. Walmart's not going to do that. Target, Home Depot, Lowe's, whoever, Wayfair, they're not going to do that. And so you have the ability to be able to earn your customers' trust through different ways, right? And that's just one of the main critical ways that you can be able to do that, is to help separate yourself from everybody else in that specific market that you're actually going after. So,
And the way I think that opinion based here, there's two reasons why I think people are going to buy from you specifically, over Amazon. And the first one's just real simple, impulse. You're driving impulse. So people are just going to jump the gun there and assume that you may not be the best price in the market, but you're at least going to be competing with Amazon prices, and they just buy from you at that point. Another point is I like to look at frequency, or I think I talked to you a little bit about earlier, the mirror exposure effect. So psychologically, this is the way sales works. When people see just about anything, like the news does this, music does this, TV shows, everything does this, like my podcast, this is how this is going to blow up and I'm going to get a lot of viewers on this. Like when you see something multiple times over again, whether you have a positive or a negative experience with it, just as long as you're seeing it continuously, then you're going to actually start to like it. You're going to resonate with it and people are going to prefer you. You're going to prefer what you're seeing more. So people aren't going to buy from you the first time on, you know, like your Facebook ads or your Google. Well, more Facebook, not necessarily Google, but people aren't going to buy from you the first time. It's going to take 5, 6, 7, 8 points of contact before people are actually going to jump the gun and take action on you. So I think people buy from you because they see your brand name multiple times. So psychologically, they're thinking to themselves that you're actually a reputable, good brand that they can trust. So they would rather buy from you, even if they know Amazon might be cheaper. My theory on it, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, you know, it's one of multiple reasons why people will buy from you, but definitely, you know, and that's a critical, like, you know, sales and marketing thought process that's even taught from a scholastic aspect, like that's commonly known, is that it takes 7 to 8 touch points with anyone that's a cold individual or customer or potential customer in order for you to just build that like trust factor with people to feel comfortable about your brand and then wanting to do business with you. And, you know, that's not to say that you won't get those people that will definitely come to your site one time and convert. Like, you'll have tons of people. Like, again, I specifically focus on high-ticket e-com. So my average order value is, like, you know, it can be anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 per purchase. I got a product that's, like, taking off this week, $1,400 per transaction, right? That's coming in, like, every day. You know, so the thing is that, again, you know, some of those people, like, it's a one-time touch. Like, they come in. This is exactly what they've been looking for. Now, specifically, I run traffic only on search engines. I don't actually use social media for high tickets specifically. You can use it for retargeting, but definitely cold traffic is, it's going to cost you way more money to get that conversion versus, you know, actually getting in front of someone that's literally gone to a search engine and said, hey, I want an Amati 60-inch electric fireplace. That's somebody that knows exactly what they want. Now they're just trying to figure out who they want to get it from. Like, that's the person I want. Like, I want the person that's at the bottom of the funnel.
It comes with the sales part, like I was saying there, that's more social. So that makes more sense with the social aspect of it, because these aren't people that are actually looking to buy that item necessarily right then. But when you do search engine driven, like Google ads or Bing ads, people are actually taking to the search engines. They're typing in what they want and they're looking to buy it. So when it comes to like the sales and the psychology of the back end there, that makes sense with the social aspect of it when you're actually trying to sell people.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter just in general. Like, it on average, like, especially like with, whether it's like a digital product, physical product, it doesn't matter. And that's the thing I tell people a lot too, in terms of like principles. The thing is that once you start learning the fundamental principles of what creates success in one arena versus another, like, I was even just thinking about this like this morning, like, you know, on how like business wise, like, I'm literally like, as I'm like, for example, I'm running a workshop this weekend. And the same exact principles I'm going to be sharing on optimizing your site for conversions, you could literally go to any of my sites selling services or digital products, and I have the same exact principles. Like, I'm like literally like the same exact stuff. The only difference is like how I position it, but it's the same strategy. Like, you know, the same strategy in terms of brand, same strategy in terms of like offers, same type of urgency, scarcity. You know, we're not even going to go deep into a lot of that stuff. I don't think today that's too much for a podcast, but at least for how much we've been already talking anyways. But yeah, man, like the principles that you'll learn, like when you start to find those fundamental things, like they're universal. And these are the same things that Walmart are doing, the same things that Apple is doing. Like, we're not like, do you honestly really think when Apple rolls out an iPhone that they really only have 1,000 that they could have made? Biggest company in the world, they can only make 1,000. No, they do that because, you know, they're high price is going to run to the store. You're going to get one because you don't want to wait 2 months. That's why you're going to go get one of the 1,000 that are available. Limited time on, right? So yeah, those strategies, And the funny thing is, like, some people are uncomfortable with that. You know, when they start learning about marketing and sales, you're like, oh, well, I'm not really telling the truth, or, you know, I'm not really being honest. But the thing is that you have to motivate people to take action. It's not a thing of, like, not being honest or dishonest or nothing. It's just that you have to create a psychological and like motivating factor for people to want to take action. So again, no one would ever say to Tim Cook, who I think Tim Cook's still the CEO of Apple. Is he still the CEO of Apple?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And if he's not, oh, well, whoever the CEO of Apple is, you know, no one's going to go to him and be like, you know what? You're a liar. You're embellishing. You're telling the marketplace fake stories because you guys can make more than 1,000 iPhones. No one's ever going to do that, right? Because it's just, that's what they position in their market. That's what they do. And as long as you follow up on whatever it is that you say you're actually going to do. So if you sell someone on expedited shipping, like, process it with expedited shipping. Like, don't, like, swindle people. Like, get them to pay you more money and then they'll, like, do the thing you say you're going to do. Or, you know, if you have a limited quantity, you know, offer, like, don't process the order and not ship the product, like silly stuff like that. I know we shouldn't have to talk about it, but we got to talk about it. So it's just, as long as you're following up on the offer and the fulfillment of what you say you're going to do, whatever strategy that you implement in the process of that is totally fine.
Yeah. And I would say that it's, again, it's kind of like a white lie. Like, you're not 100% telling the truth. Like, I do this, and it may be bad. Some people may look at it as bad, but, like, I'll say limited time offer, or, hey, there's only 10 left in stock. But I don't necessarily look at that as morally wrong. I think there's a difference between doing something that's like that, like a white lie, and stuff that's completely morally wrong. I think there's a big difference between the two. I don't really find it necessarily, and this is just my own preference, I'll have a lot of people disagree with me, but I don't find it bad to drive impulse, because every company does it, like you said, Google, Apple, even Amazon, everybody does that, where they say limited time only, 10 available. I don't think that's necessarily bad. I think where the argument starts to get a little bit worse is, like you're saying, if you're going to do stuff that's actually morally wrong, where you charge somebody $10 extra for shipping and for expedited shipping, and you just don't expedite the shipping. Right. I think that's the big difference. So
you don't have the ability to expedite the shipping because maybe it's coming from like China and there isn't an option for that product in particular. Don't lie. Like, you can't expedite it. So don't sell someone on the expedited shipping. Maybe you could sell expedited processing, meaning that you'll move their order ahead of the other customers that you have. That's a different type of offer. Right. Yeah. So again, whatever it is that you offer, just make sure it's in alignment to something that you can actually deliver on.
Yep. Exactly. Just don't be a bad person. Like, people have, like I would say, people have bullshit detectors, like, literally built into their minds, right? Everybody can pick up on if you're lying to them. So don't try and go over the top. Like, sure, put one sales badge or trust badge on your product page, but don't overdo it. You don't need one at the tip top up in your header. You don't need one directly below your price. You don't need one at the bottom. You don't need one on every one of your reviews, right? Like, people are going to know that you're not, like, genuinely that real, right? They've never heard of your name before. If you're not Amazon, they know that you're not probably a massive Fortune 500 company. So there's no need to try.
Yeah, like, don't put Fortune 500 badge in your store if you're just getting started. Like, no, don't put the Inc. 1000, Inc. 500. Like, don't do stuff like that.
That's not you. And I've seen stores that do that. And it makes me laugh every time, because thinking back before I got into the actual drop shipping space, like, I seen that stuff and like, I kind of, again, bullshit detector built in. I looked into them and I was researching. I'm like, I can't find anything on this company. I'm like, really? You're a Fortune 500 company and I can't find you. I'm like, it's that easy, huh? But no, that's all good. That's all good there. I want to go back to the Facebook ads thing, because we got that. You don't really do much with Facebook ads anymore, right?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't do it. No, I've never ran a Facebook ad. Like, let me backtrack. No. I boosted a post once. No, I've run 100% of my e-com traffic on search engines.
Okay. And I actually didn't know that. I figured you did a little bit of Facebook, but
no.
You can agree that most people starting out are only doing Facebook ads, Facebook driven.
And that's part of the reason why I never wanted to do Facebook when I first started years ago. Cause, you know, I'm the type, I got a little rebellion in me, right? Like, I don't always like to do things the same way. Even if I know it's going to be more of a headache, I still won't do it. So when I got started a few years ago, I was just like, you know, especially with like high ticket products, I just intuitively thought, I'm like, man, if I'm trying to get somebody to give me $1,000, like, I just don't see how that could work with the platform. I'm like, the whole, like, you know, with Facebook, you got the disruptive marketing, you got the copy, you got the different ad types, different ad sets, you know, in terms of objectives that you could set. I was like, you know, with Google, especially with shopping ads, I'm like, they really only trigger my products for one or two reasons. Either someone's looking for exactly what I sell, or they're looking for something extremely similar to what I sell. Like, that's the only reason or way I get triggered. So I'm just like, for $1,000 and up product, it just makes sense for me to get in front of people that literally go and tell Google that they want to see me, right? So that was what my thought process was 4 years ago. And yeah, that's why, like, anytime I pull up my ad account, like, it would literally blow your mind, because, like, my return on ad spend is just absolutely retarded. Like, you know, I just did a training this past week where I just had a recent week where I spent $300 and made $30,000. You know, like, I had to have stuff like that consistently. So I ad account and show people that. I'm doing it this weekend, actually. That's what I do at my workshops. So it's crazy that type of stuff can happen with Google Ads.
I'm coming to one of them, by the way. Come a little bit closer than Texas. I think that's where you're at right now, down your hotel.
Yeah.
That's a little bit far for me. I got some guys down there in Texas, so I'm going to point them in your direction. Some guys I've mentored, some guys I'm pretty close with in Houston, actually. Is that where you're at?
No, so I'm out in Fort Worth. I have no idea. Texas is huge. I don't know where everywhere is in Texas. It's like its own country out here.
I think you're missing an opportunity here. And I'm not saying do Facebook ads, but we can both agree that that's where the traffic's at, right? That's where a lot of people are going.
Well, like, if I know what most people would consider the number one, like, media buyers in the world, like, the people that literally, like, they pay, like, so one of the guys, I won't say his name, but one of the guys so I don't know if you guys know who Dean Graziosi is. He just hit $1 billion in sales. He paid this guy $20,000 to come in for 8 hours to just teach his team how to, like, run better ad campaigns, specifically on YouTube. And he spent, like, tons of money on YouTube. He's also responsible for helping to take Organifi from just 7 figures a year to, like, they were just on 1 to 2 million to $60 million a year. Like, that's my best friend. Like, I literally call him, not my best friend, but he's a really good friend of mine. We'll probably be best friends here pretty in, like, another year or two, but I can just pick up the phone and call him. So I got people like that on speed dial to where they definitely, to your point, have told me, like, to get on Facebook personally. So here's the personal reason why I haven't, because, again, Ernest is a little rebellious, right? So here's one of the reasons why I haven't. As I transition into, like, 2020, is definitely going to happen, but I haven't. Again, we talk about brand building, being known in the marketplace, so forth and so on. So I went to a conference in San Diego. I got invited to be a panelist, and I came on stage, person introduced me. And at the end of his introduction to me, he mentioned how I never ran traffic or never spent any money on Facebook ads with the accolades I had. Yep. This conference had, I don't know, probably about 700, 800 people in it. The conference literally went crazy. Like they went bonkers. Like I got ambushed after the event. Like, I literally took over the event because they're like, you don't run Facebook ads. Like, how do you make money? That doesn't make any sense. This is crazy. And so I was like, holy crap. I guess, because I'm the type of person, like, I got to be 100% across the board. I can't be running Facebook ads and then telling people I'm not running Facebook ads. Right. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to just leave this Facebook ad thing alone while I'm getting paid, you know, on Google, Yahoo, AOL, DuckDuckGo, like places you search engines you guys probably never even heard of a new existed. That's where I'm going to keep running traffic from. But
believe it or not, online searches still happen with Yahoo. I just found that out the other day. What was my mind?
Yeah, actually, Yahoo's still in the top 15 most visited websites in the world.
Yeah, Bing's got 1%. DuckDuckGo's got less than 1%. And obviously, Google has the majority of it. But even though Bing only has 1%, there's still millions of people using that. And the traffic is just absolutely ridiculously cheap to get.
Don't get me started on Bing. For an entire year, I was getting my CPC was like 6 cents a click. And like I can't even tell you what my ROAS was, because people would listen to this would just be like, oh my God, that doesn't even sound real.
What I was going to say, why I was bringing up Facebook, is I'm not trying to tell you get on and start doing Facebook ads, because I don't think you should do Facebook ads at all. I do, but I don't think you should. But here's what I think you should do, because you obviously do very, very well. You make a lot of money with your sales. Your traffic is worth a lot of money, right? What you need to do, if you're not doing it already, but you should get a pixel on your website and track that information, because that's one additional way you can make money on your money, because people will buy access to that data. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be buy access to that one specific product. They'll buy access to the category or whatever you're selling in, right? Or the niche, like automotive niche. They're going to buy, they're willing to buy access to your pixel information just on the automotive stuff. And you could make a tremendous amount of money on that. Like, you want to get to that $1 million a year, $100 million a year mark, a big thing you could do is put that pixel on your website, set up custom conversions for each individual like niche or product or whatever. And then you could sell monthly access to that information, because the mainstream way to do Facebook ads now is, or the mainstream way to do Shopify dropshipping is to use Facebook ads. And people are willing to pay for that stuff like tremendously. And I'm recording this on my phone, otherwise I pull it up and show, one of these cameras is my phone. I pull it up and I show you guys that one of the stores I'm selling right now has 72 leads on it. And each one of those leads, like, people want to buy the store because it's a profitable store. It makes like $20,000 a month profit. But the main thing that people are actually looking to buy when people sell their Shopify stores is they're looking to buy the data. They want to buy your data. Right now, living in the data race. So you got Apple that's winning it. You got Apple, you have Amazon, you have even Microsoft is still in it. You got Facebook, Google. Those companies, they're tech giants, and they understand it better than anybody right now, that the world we live in is a complete data race. So if you have the most data, you're going to win. So I think, Ernest, what you should do, and I'll even help you set this up, because nobody does the custom conversion thing. That's another secret that I teach people, but literally nobody does it. We should set up custom conversions and pixels on your website just to track that information. And then we can segment, sell off your pixel information, and you could probably double your income.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Yeah, I got the pixel installed. I don't have the custom audiences and stuff set up, with the custom conversions and stuff. So, yeah, actually, I never thought about doing that, but that definitely should probably be something I should do long before I even get to 2020. So that's a really solid nugget.
Yep, that we won't get into it too much here because it's just a podcast, but I have videos over my YouTube channel that I'm recording and putting up of the custom conversions, and nobody does that little trick. But the custom conversion, when you can utilize that, that's really part of how you can make your ads blow up. Like, a lot of people will do retarget marketing off of their whole pixel. And some people listening to this might get it. That's why I'm going to talk about it. I don't know. So it might be going over your head a little bit. But when it comes to like the Facebook pixel, a lot of people will retarget their traffic on their website off of purchase conversions, off of people who have purchased off their website as abroad. And if you're doing a general store, I mean, you have something in like the kitchen niche and the automotive niche, and it's all different stuff. So when you do that, you're not targeting quality traffic. Somebody in the automotive industry niche that previously purchased from you, and you're going to run ads targeting people similar to that for kitchen stuff, it's just not going to work. So that's why you want to segment up the custom conversions so you can actually have your information segmented. So that's part of how you can really kill it with conversions on Facebook. But you can also take that, grow information the way that you're currently doing it, and sell that information off, because that's what people are looking to buy.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I have the custom conversions and stuff set up specifically just kind of how you mentioned on the Google side of things. I just never thought about setting it up on Facebook because obviously I'm not running traffic over there. So.
And yeah, honest, that's a good idea. I never put that on the Google side myself, but I should. But
it's beautiful over in Google land. You know, it's way less chaotic, and way more consistent in terms of like the algorithm changing and like new stuff happening. Like, you know, it's just not as crazy.
Yeah, it's not. Before we end this, because this is a long show here, and we could talk all day, because this is something I'm passionate about. That's why I wanted you on here, because I know you're passionate about it. We could go round and round and round, probably for hours.
Yeah.
At some point, but I wanna ask you one more thing. Give us a little nugget. Give us a little something. The people who made it here to the end of the hour-long podcast, give them something that's like a little secret to the drop shipping game. Entice them to come over and actually follow you. So, like, sell them on it. Like, sell them that you're actually talking about. I know you do, but they might not know who you are. Give them something that's really, really good. Good stuff.
Yeah, you know, the thing, you know, it's funny because when I actually have people that tell me to do that, like, sell me on dropshipping, sell me on e-com, where I'm like, you know, for me, like, that's like the worst thing to kind of tell me, because, like, I don't like to sell anybody, like, on a new thing, right? Now, if you have interest in a particular topic, if you really want to learn something of that nature, like, you know, my goal is to empower you to make educated decisions in the process of going on the journey of learning, and then ultimately, like, taking action, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the biggest components about just e-com and dropshipping, and the thing that I love about it, just like in traditional business, is the fact that you don't have to play guessing games about creating success. So I know, you know, me and you, Zach, we talked about some stuff before we got on. You know, I'm going to drop those specific knowledge bombs, but, like, you know, Zach has some very strategic ways on ensuring that when you select products, that you're putting the best type of products on your website to ensure when you go to launch, you'll create success, right? And so I do that same exact process. A lot of bit differently from what he had mentioned to me specifically on his strategies, yep. But with high ticket e-com, right? So I don't play guessing games in this world. Like, I can literally go and create a store, know that it's going to make money within next couple of days if I want, right? And know that I can scale that sucker to like multiple six figures a year and put it on semi-autopilot like we already talked about. And the only difference between me and you is the information that I have and then the application of the information. Right. And so one of the challenges that people have is that they don't get good quality information. You think that you're going to go to YouTube, go to Google. Yes, Zach is putting out phenomenal content. Yes, you'll find I'm putting out phenomenal content. But literally, like, you know, no one at the end of the day is really putting out exactly 110,000% of what it is that they're actually doing to literally, like, make tons and tons of money. Right. At the end of the day, that's just facts. Right. So with that being said, like, you really have to, like, decide to make an investment in yourself, whether it's like enrolling to Zach's mastermind or mentorship, or whether it's like buying a course out there, whether it's deciding to follow me, like, whatever the case is, like, you know, you got to get the right information from the right people. And then a part of that is actually applying it. But the biggest thing I can tell you is that you don't have to play guessing games in order to create a massively successful business. Personally, for me, I walk people through a process where you're going to build long-term wealth, long-term success with your e-commerce businesses. And to Zach's point, like, liquidate some of the stores in the process of doing that, selling it to like a private equity company, a hedge fund company, if that's something that you want to do. You know, but at the end of the day, like, you know, we got this process dialed in, we got this system locked in, like, literally every day, whether someone's in my pay group or free group, like, the content information, I literally had a guy yesterday that told me he just made thousands of dollars just being in my free group, just implementing one strategy on his business. Like, they were struggling, having some challenges, and he's just in my free group. And he's just like, yo, I just went and did this thing that you said to do, Ernest, and it's literally made us thousands of dollars over the last couple of weeks. I'm like, wow, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, I'm dropping stuff all the time, and some people choose to share and some people don't. At the end of the day, you know, the amazing thing is when you get around real deal people like myself, like Zach, we're able to empower you immensely, and sometimes even more than some of the stuff that you're actually paying for out here in the marketplace. So, you know, if I had to leave anything, that would be what I would leave folks with.
Oh, that's right. I apologize for saying sell. I don't necessarily always mean, like, sell people, like, so you can, like, take their money. When I think sales.
No, I don't think that, too. Like, I look at selling a service, right? Like, you get paid in a direct reflection to the amount of service that you render, right? Whether that's through a digital product or physical product. So how do you determine what something is worth is based upon the value of what that thing is. So when you look at, again, whether it's a service or a digital product, it's based upon the amount of value that someone sees in getting the thing, right? So yeah, I don't ever look at sales from a negative perspective. Like, honestly, like, I think people should do more selling. Like, and I wish we had more time. We definitely don't. But like, that's part of the reason why I've literally made multiple, like, I've made, and this is just on a small scale. I haven't even ran all the revenue. I just looked at like three businesses most recently, $345,000 in profit through three out of the seven businesses that I have. We're only halfway through 2019, right? $345,000 in profit, which is crazy, right? By literally just focus on how can I serve people more through the multiple businesses that I have.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And like I was saying, when I'm talking sales, I don't mean necessarily selling people on like giving you money. I'm talking like selling on your content of character, like selling people on the fact that you know what you're talking about. Like, I don't mean like taking their money. Like, people associate sales with money, and sales isn't just associated with money. That's what I meant by that. Like, I wanted you to sell them. And I think you did a great job of that. You got people, you got me sold. I'm sure you can get everybody else sold on the fact that you're a person that knows what you're talking about. And guys, I have Ernest, I have all of his social links and everything right down there in the description, wherever you're listening from here, whether it's YouTube, whether it's on podcast, wherever. I mean, go check him out. He's got like probably the fastest growing Shopify drop shipping group on Facebook right now. He puts out some content that's probably more valuable than most people's courses, and he gives it out for free. You got to check it out for yourself. Ernest, he's a guy that knows what he's talking about. That's the whole reason I got him on the show here, and I'm super pumped he could take the time out of the day to be here with us, because this is a guy that knows what he's talking about. Like, I do pretty well in drop shipping, but I'm like a little schoolboy, all giggly and happy to have him on the show here, because he's way further ahead than where I'm at. Like, I know people come to me and they think I'm like a top dog in the field, but Ernest is like light years ahead of me, guys. There's not many people above him. Check him out, join his group. Ernest, thanks for taking the time out of your day here today, man. Good luck at your event tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and plug all your stuff down there in the comments. If you got anything else you wanted to say, you can say it now.
Man, just go out, put in the work, put in the grind, and we'll see you at the top.
Boom. We love it. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right. Later.
Later. Thanks for watching the show, guys. Honestly, I really appreciate all the feedback I've been getting. If you haven't been giving me any feedback, it really, really helps me. It shows the search engines that people are actually engaging with my content. So if you did like what I had to say today, go ahead and give me a big thumbs up and a like. If you didn't like what I had to say today, give me a big thumbs down or a dislike, because either way, honestly, it helps the show out. It shows the search engines, like I said, that people are engaging with our content. And furthermore, if you really like what we have to say, just make sure to subscribe here to the show. Subscribe to it, engage with the content, leave a comment, leave a like, share it with somebody else. Help us get the message out there, guys. This is a completely free show. I don't charge for any of my content, so all the help I can get, I really, really appreciate it. But make sure you stay tuned, guys, because next week's episode may be even better than this week's episode. So make sure you check it out. I record these in advance, so I definitely know that every single week, what's going to be coming, what's not going to be coming. But make sure you check this one out, because next week's episode is really, really good, guys. I have some really good points to get in there, and I got a really special guest on there that you're probably not expecting. So make sure to go over and check that show out, because I promise you, you're going to pull some insane keys out of that one, guys. But until then, we'll see you next time.